Greetings, urban farmers, gardeners, and healthy food visionaries. Farmer Greg here, and welcome to the 865th episode of the Urban Farm Podcast, where every day we work together to educate and inspire you to become part of your food revolution. Today on our podcast, we have someone who started a garden and caught the bug. We're talking with Kane Wilton about transforming our communities through seeds. Kane is an organic farmer, garden designer, and seed enthusiast with a passion for building resilient communities through regenerative growing. Kane planted his first garden initially to grow flowers for his wife and caught the garden bug. Kane and his wife co-founded the 1904 Project in Salem, Oregon, to connect and empower individuals toward regenerative and local food. In 2024, the 1904 Project hosted the first Great Northwest Seed Up in Salem, Oregon, featuring seeds that are adaptively grown for the Pacific Northwest. Welcome to the show today, Kane. Are you ready to rock?
Yeah, ready.
Let's do it. So I shared a bit about you. Can you fill in the blanks for us and share more about the path you took to get where you're at today?
Thank you, Greg. It's an honor to be on today. Your show and podcast have inspired so much of what I do, and a lot of the giants and the local visionaries that you've had on, gotten to connect with and learn from and get their books. Truly, thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So when my wife and I first got married, we lived at her parents' house, and behind her parents' house, there was some power line land. And the rules with the power line land was, as long as you don't build a permanent structure, you can do whatever you want.
Whoa.
So we decided to put a garden back there and wanted to be a frugal guy, but be a generous guy and be the best husband I could be. I wanted to grow my wife some flowers instead of buying them. And I learned quickly that was not a frugal choice up front. And it took about 3 years for her to have a first bouquet in her hand. Because I got obsessed with food systems pretty quickly and permaculture. And I all of a sudden was committed to, like, we can't grow ornamentals, we can't grow flowers. But then a friend shared some dahlia tubers with me. I learned that you could eat those in times of famine. And I grew those out and got hooked on flowers again, and learned that those cut flowers and the beauty has so much value in addition to just food and native habitat.
Well, and as pollinators, Lisa Ziegler's been on the podcast a couple of times, and she says 20% of our gardens should be flowers.
Yeah, I actually edge all of the gardens and I put a central flower bed. So I put like a border of flowers around every garden I do now.
Nice.
Maybe out of that interview, I can't remember, but The power line project, it was visible from a mile in each direction. It was in the dip of a valley. Mm-hmm. And so neighborhoods all around could see this space. So it was a vision that people would go into their backyards or walk through the neighborhood and they would see this little farm in the power line area. And they would hopefully be inspired and go for it as well and understand that they could use that space.
Wow.
That was the vision there. So from that first garden in the power line project, we moved into our first house. We were renting on a little farmhouse area with 6 acres. It was pretty idyllic. It was 6 acres of grass lawn, though. And we wanted to take a little bit of that space and do what we could. Around that time is when I got hooked into permaculture, and the landlord was generous enough to let me encroach on about a quarter acre of space. And we started native plants from seed. We planted fruit and trees and flowers and all the things. And slowly we watched life return to that space. And so we brought the vision of the power line project together with this house that was built in 1904, and it became 1904 Project.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And it was just a blog to share what we were doing, both in our home and in our garden, share regenerative lifestyles, all the things we were learning and practicing. And as I drove around our neighborhoods, I saw some other incredible gardens, and I wanted to use 1904 as a platform to interview those other local gardeners and those other local growers,
mm-hmm.
and start to bring people together, unify them, start maybe co-oping or buying things together to save on materials and resources. So that was the birth of 1904 Project, was getting community together and highlighting these regenerative projects throughout Salem, Oregon.
What kind of difference has it made in the community? What are you seeing from people?
So our initial platform was social media. We started putting videos out there, sharing what we were learning. And initially, it was like putting information out into the void, not really sure if anybody was listening or learning from it. But then I started meeting people in town. I'd be at the grocery store and someone would stop me and be like, "Hey, that video was awesome. I'm doing XYZ now in my garden." And so
Nice.
even though I wasn't getting interactions online, I realized just like myself, people were just watching using social media and learning from it. So that was super encouraging just to realize like there's a real life thing happening, not just online.
Yeah, I've had the same thing with the podcast. I've been doing this podcast now for 9 years, and I just throw it out in the void, and sometimes it digs up people like you.
Yeah. And it digs up people like John the Farmer, who in real life is an amazing human. And we connected, and he actually visited and he came down for our Great Northwest Seedup.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So the 1904 project, what things are you doing inside of that shell?
I think, like a lot of visionaries early on, we were saying yes to everything, just trying. Just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what's stuck. And we're really in a season of focusing in and trying to pick a few things that we're really good at and that work and pursue those. And hopefully, if we can make those profitable, then they'll fund all the other stuff that we still want to do. So right now, we're focused in on the Great Northwest Seedup and garden design work and consulting.
And what does garden design work look like?
So, with that lesson I learned with flowers, there was an element of my gardens before that were wild. And that power line project, I was starting to make wild forests of food. And I realized they weren't visible. If somebody saw them from far away, they might just think that it's a bunch of weeds. And so I learned that if I want to get my neighbors interested, I've got to start honing in the craft of beauty integrated. And meet people where they are, meet people in that ornamental zone mixed with the food growing zone, bring some familiar elements of landscaping to the permaculture world. And in that way, there's something they can attach to that they know, but then it stretches their curiosity into everything else going on, the native plants that they haven't seen before. And so the garden design and consulting that we do is really focused around native integrated foodscaping.
Oh.
Yeah, we are mostly working with residential clients right now and a few commercial clients like churches and other nonprofits and community organizations to do native ecosystems where we integrate food and perennial bushes. And then for residential clients, some vegetable gardens mixed into the little food forests of native plants.
Nice. And along the way in these garden projects, has there been a moment when you paused and thought to yourself, oh my gosh, this is the reason I'm doing what I'm doing?
Yeah, the Great Northwest Seedup that we hosted in January was the first taste of really gathering community around gardening and that conversation and regenerative growing. We sent out flyers and social media posts, and people from all over town and even beyond up in Washington, we had people coming down. We had about 50 people come and scoop their own seeds and just share in great conversations. And it was during an ice storm. And so we had all these power outages happening the whole event. And
Oh my
so we
gosh.
had some candlelights and some lamps. And it was this very warm and intimate event where people, I just got to watch people really connect and meet each other, which was the whole goal, was just to bring the people who love this stuff into the same room and start some conversations. The relationships were really building there, and I think people have continued to keep a conversation going after that event.
Cool. So that was one of your projects, the Great Northwest Seed Up. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so obvious inspiration, the Great American Seed Up that you guys host. Thought that idea was really cool. And we have in Oregon multiple seed companies and small farmers and growers throughout the Willamette Valley that are growing organic, adaptively, regeneratively. And I really wanted to partner up with them and feature seeds and get their seeds spread into our local community here. So we bought seeds in bulk from these local companies and a couple of the seeds that we grow ourselves, we provided in bulk, and people came and scooped their own packets. The very first one we did, which we're going to change the model a little bit moving forward, but this very first one was just a door ticket price, and that paid for all the seeds that we were able to acquire. And everybody, we just equally distributed and divvied up the seeds with everybody who was able to attend. And then we had, because of the ice storm, we had to change the model a bit and send out a lot of shipped packages, which we weren't planning for, but about half the attendees weren't able to make it through the ice storm. It was a pretty intense ice storm for a couple of days, but still a really lovely event in person.
So what you did is you found seeds that were locally adapted and charged people a ticket price come in the door, and that ticket price covered the cost of their seeds that they took with them.
Yeah, we had an initial
Cool.
we were putting out that we wanted everybody to be able to get 15 packets of seeds each. And once we got enough ticket sales, I went a little crazy buying seeds because it's hard not to. And everybody ended up getting about 28 packets of seeds, which on our end, it cost a little money on our end, which was fine. And I loved it. It was fun to go crazy buying seeds.
Nice. Yeah, they are addictive, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you had people show up. What did it look like in the room? What were they doing?
Yeah, so our landlord, this was back at the 1904 project property, let us use the barn that was on the property. There was this big,
Nice.
beautiful red barn. And so we hosted it in there, had about a half dozen tables set up with bowls of seeds and tablespoon, teaspoon measures in each one, little packets and labels that everybody could scoop their seeds into the packet, label them on what they had. So in between kind of meeting people and mingling and conversation, they were scooping their seeds and learning about each one. We had a printout of all the seeds and where they came from, how they were grown, if they have a story behind them. And so you got to learn about all the seeds and I had people sharing with me. It was a really fun way to plan out their space as they moved from seed to seed, and they could think of where's this going to go. And with the power out, like I said, it was pretty intimate, a lot of candles, a lot of lamps, nice mood lighting. Wasn't planned, but that part was beautiful too.
Nice. So you've done this, you've done it once.
Yep.
When did it happen?
This happened in January of 2024.
Okay. Are you going to go out a little further this next year?
Yeah, moving forward, we're going to do two a year. We're going to do one in November, and that's going to be similar to the first one, where it's going to be kind of the stock seeds. It's going to be your grains and your root veggies and your kind of hardy sustenance farming kind of seeds. And then in March, late February, early March, we're going to host another one. In fact, this year we're going to do the last day of February and the first day of March, which is a Friday and Saturday. We're going to do our springtime event where it will be, pay per scoop. It's going to be a smaller door price, pay per scoop, and there's going to be a lot more things to mix in, fun, lovely, colorful flowers, the things you can add in on the edge and companion plant with what you're already planning to grow.
All right, so you've used that term several times now, edge. I'm assuming we're speaking in permaculture terms, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Tell me about
Absolutely.
edge in permaculture.
Yeah, for our spaces that we plant out, we will plant a border around our gardens of mixed flowers. And we've gotten, pretty much any seeds we can get our hands on, we'll start to mix into that border, primarily focusing on flowers, but we'll also mix in a few cover crops. We'll mix in some beans and peas and anything that will really flower or provide space for insects to live and nest, even some fennel for wasps. So we'll just plant out a foot wide around the entire garden and then
Wow.
mix in pockets throughout the garden of these mixes.
Nice.
And edge is a concept in permaculture that in nature, when there's an edge, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of life generally in edge spaces. So one of the things I used to do at the urban farm was I used the edge of the property in the front yard and planted fruit trees. So I had a fruit tree hedge on three sides of my front yard, and that's how I got almost 40 fruit trees in the front yard at the urban farm. So edge is a cool thing to be playing with.
You said 40 fruit trees. How long was that space, or how much space did you have?
That was 80 feet wide and about 40 feet deep. So 80, 60 feet across the front of the property because we had the driveway in there. And then about 30 feet, maybe 40 feet on both sides of the front yard.
Wow.
Yeah. So
That is
edge,
it.
love edge, love edge. So where are you getting all these seeds at?
Yeah, we grew some of our own seeds for this last event, and we've partnered up with the local seed companies throughout the Willamette Valley. There's actually one company called Adaptive Seeds that I just love so much that I created the event around getting their seeds
Nice.
featured. Yeah, and we're also partnering up for these upcoming ones. We're partnering up with some organic farms in the area that grow seed as well for some of the bigger suppliers, but are venturing into local distribution.
Awesome. And what was your favorite takeaway from your Great Northwest seed up?
Yeah, it was community. Through and through, we had, like I said, John the farmer came down to visit. We had some friends in the community. And then we had people I didn't know before who caught wind of it through social media, Reddit, flyers. And I didn't have local credibility. They've never heard of 1904 Project. And they took a chance. They trusted that this thing was going to happen, and they showed up, and it happened. And we had people after the event that couldn't make it because of the ice storm. They came and visited the property, and I got to give some farm tours, and I learned a lot of stories. We had a couple people who had just moved to the area, bought their first property, were going to do the whole homestead thing. And so they were just looking for ways to plug in and learn and share their experience.
Nice. Then what's your vision for the future of urban farming in your area?
Moving forward, after a couple of years of doing the seed up, we are going to start working with the people who are in attendance. We'll reach back out to them after a few years and see if they've continued on the seed growing journey. Through the seed up, we're encouraging and teaching how to save seeds. So if people are really enthusiastic about it, we'll start getting their seeds into the mix as well. And then 1904 Project, we have the vision that it's going to be a buyers and sellers co-op that growers in the area will start being able to pool their resources to get equipment and materials, or share equipment and materials, and be able to market and sell together.
Nice. Well, congratulations. It sounds like you're having fun with this.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to shift on you. And I'd like for you to talk about a time you failed, how you overcame that failure, and what you might have learned from it.
Yeah, thank you. This last year, we lost the 1904 Project farm to development. Yeah, it's getting built out. And so it got scraped in about August, bulldozed.
Wow.
And it's still a pretty fresh blow, pretty fresh loss. But out of that, we moved out of the old house, and we moved to a neighboring town, bought a little house in a suburb, and we buy our first house. That's great. But pretty quickly, the neighbors were seeing all these tarps and cardboard and wood chips showing up at our house, and they were getting curious and asking me questions. And now we've got about a neighbor on each side, about four neighbors who are pretty committed and pretty excited that come springtime, they're going to join in, and
Wow.
they're going to let us show them what to do.
That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting to hear, "Oh my God, they don't want you there. You got stuff in their front yard they don't want to look at." So that's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, there's definitely still people who drive by that I'm thinking maybe that's what they're thinking, but at least my immediate neighbors, they're pretty excited, and they see the momentum, they see the vision. And this vision I had for the 6 acres that we were living on, it's not over. It's just moved, and now
Yeah.
more people are a part of it.
How big is the property that you currently that you bought?
So it's a corner lot, which corner lots are great.
Oh yeah.
We've got 5,000 square feet in total, and about 3,000 square feet is going to be dedicated to garden space.
Cool.
So yeah, edge planting the entire sidewalk. We've got a plan
Yep.
for fruit trees along the whole sidewalk. And my goal at this house is flavor, fruit, and flowers, herbs, cut flowers, and fruit trees.
Nice. So I used to do, and when I was in Phoenix, I had a small lot in Phoenix as well. And we used to do monthly tours over the 20 years from 2002 to 2022 when I moved to Asheville. We would do monthly tours and then toward the end, more 3 times a year. Because I found that on tour weekend, we would easily have 200 people show up. So
Wow.
that was quite an impact on the neighborhood. And I couldn't do that once a month. So
Yeah.
people are really interested. And I used to do the tours for free
Yeah.
and then ask for a donation. And people could not donate anything, or they could donate a lot. And that came out of a project I did back in 2002, where I spent all this time and energy to develop a class on growing in your garden in the desert and market it. And I had two people sign up. It was like $75 or something. I had two people sign up. It was like, that's not the reach I want. I want to touch thousands of people. And so that's where the
Yeah.
donation model came in, and it worked really, really, really well.
That's great.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
think about doing tours of the space, because as you're developing it, you're going to develop a pattern for how to best speak about it. And people want to know. People are really interested in finding out how they can do this themselves.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. What do you consider your biggest success?
I think it would be just turning my investment into where I am now. I'm a military kid and I moved all over the world before moving to Salem, Oregon. And I met my wife living here. And it took me a little while to be rooted in one place. I was used to moving all over the place. And there was just a turning point where I realized I wanted to invest in one place where I am right now and just take steps in that direction, start working with people here and making this place where I live better.
Nice. And what drives you?
I'm really big on one step at a time. There's these big visions that I have. These big visions can become stagnant or this mountain that you're just staring at and just taking that next step, just reaching out, sending that email, making that meeting, finally signing up to be on the
Yeah,
podcast.
how long did you ponder that for?
You asked me to be on about a year and a half ago.
There you go. So if you're listening to this now and I ask you to be on the podcast, come and share your story. This is the whole point, that we're inspiring people out there, and your story, Kane, is going to inspire somebody out there. So
Thank
yay,
you.
thanks for that. If you could recommend one book for our listeners, what would it be and why?
Big fan of books, have so many. I don't think I dropped any names so far, but if you're on a podcast player right now with audiobooks, Revenge of the Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell is,
Ooh.
yeah. He's revisiting a book he wrote 25 years ago, and it's all
Yep.
about how much work it takes to get to that 20, 30% mark of progress. But once
Yep.
you, there's a magic moment where all of a sudden that 80% happens.
And what one final piece of advice do you have for our listeners?
Take your first step. You've got that vision, and it's awesome. So just take that next step.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Kane.
Thank you, Greg.
And how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, we've got a couple different social medias, websites. We've got 1904project.com. That's 1904project.com. And then you can find us on social media at Kane the Farmer and 1904 Project on Instagram and Facebook.
Nice. Nice. And you can find show notes from today's podcast at urbanfarm.com. www.urbanfarmers.org/1904project.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Urban Farm Podcast. Remember to listen for tips, advice, and resources to help you on your journey with urban farming. You can find us on the web at urbanfarm.org or send us an email to podcast@urbanfarm.org. In the words of Vincent Van Gogh, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. Be encouraged that with each lesson learned and skill developed, you are one step closer in the direction of your dreams.